Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 76 in the second paragraph. When ready, we say something like this. Through one paragraph ending, we have then completed step 7, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Chris W. for the 12 steps, Susan R. for the 12 traditions, Lynn F. reading the text, and Craig F. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you to Penny C., who's our backup reader. The reference numbers for Sunday, February 2nd, 2025 is the reference number for Sunday for yesterday is 22,130-22130. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps.
Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol or food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, excuse me, 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics or compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yes, thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Susan R. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for this time to service.
Thank you so much, Susan R., for reading the 12 traditions. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 76 in the second paragraph. When ready, we say something like this, reading through one paragraph ending, "We have then completed step 7," and commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Lynn F. to begin reading. Thanks, Lynn.
Good morning, Abby, and good morning, fellows. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. And considering the words here, I know that the principle for step 7 is humility. And I need humility to do what's asked here, to do your bidding, to do the work that God is asking me to do. And if I stay stuck in my own way, which got me here in the first place, I don't have a chance. I don't have a chance to follow the next paragraph, which begins, "We need more action." Reflecting on my own step 6 and 7 practice, I need that dose of who I am and what I do in order to understand these paragraphs. In the past, for me, it means making a list of character traits and sharing that with the sponsor. It means growing toward the opposite of those character traits which have caused me harm and being willing to outgrow them. And that also means working with a sponsor, getting feedback on what it would look like to, for example, not people please. I came out of the gate as a people pleaser, as a rager. These things earned my seat here in Overeaters Anonymous. And how do I not do that today with God, one day at a time? Sponsorship teaches me that. Listening to you guys on the meeting, hearing what is said and read and shared, gives me another opportunity today to grow with my higher power into the woman he designed. And that's what I've got this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much for sharing and getting us started this morning, Lynn S. Although we value your experience, we ask that you share. So I'm going to take a list of names, but although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Craig F. Yeah.
Katie G. From Boston.
Elizabeth D.
Nicole S.
Majo, Massachusetts.
Larry K.
Nora.
All right, let's go ahead and stop there. Craig F. Oh, someone's...
Connie Yanka.
So I have Craig S., Katie G., Elizabeth D., Nicole S., Marge O., Larry K., Nora, Lisa, Ben, and Hannah. Go ahead and start. So Craig S., go ahead, followed by Katie G.
Okay, thank you. This is Craig F., and I'm recovered compulsive overeater in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thank you for leading the meeting. Thanks for everybody that served. I think it's worth noting that this is the only instructions that we have on the seventh step in the big book. We have four chapters on step one, the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, there's a solution and more about alcoholism. You know, we have an entire chapter on step two, step three, how it works, and now we're in the guts of the thing and into action. And so I think that the meaning of that, the reason that we have one chapter or one paragraph, which is completely the prayer, the step seven prayer, is that we're not intended to sit here and dwell on our character defects. We're praying a prayer and asking God to remove our character defects. It's not calling us to work on our character defects, to list our character defects, to take counteractions to our character defects. The humility is that we're asking God to remove the character defects. And then we're going to move on quickly. This step takes about as long as it takes to read this paragraph. And that's all the work that's involved in it, in these instructions, is to pray this prayer and turn it over. And another thing I'd like to point out is that there's a similar wording between this and step three. In step three, we turned our life and will over to God's care. And in step seven prayer, we're humbly asking Him to take these character defects, to take away these things that stand in our way of usefulness. And the difference is the lag between steps three and step seven was that we, in four and five, we inventoried our resentments, our fears, and our harms, and we admitted them to God and to another human being. And so we've made an inventory. We've made a beginning. We've faced the stuff that is dragging us back, and now we're simply saying humbly asking God to remove those defects of character, and we're asking Him not to make us rich and famous and handsome or beautiful. We're asking God to remove the defects of character, the ones that stand in the way of our usefulness to Him and others. In other words, we're putting ourselves in God's hands completely, like we made a decision to do in step three. We're doing it here, and then we're going to sit and wait on the outcome. We're gonna go ahead and do the rest of the steps and let God take away the defects. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Craig. from Oklahoma. Next up, we have Katie G, followed by Elizabeth D. Katie G, go right ahead.
Hey, Abby, thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, friends. This is Katie G, recovered in Boston. You know, the first thing I love about this is it's my creator. I love that. Like, think about that. Like, the creator of me knows what's good and bad, knows what I'm supposed to do, knows everything about me. It's my creator. And I was thinking when I first took this step, I had no clue. I didn't even know what usefulness meant. And now I use it every time I take a step 10. It's part of how I finish step 10. And for me, God is in the present moment. And so what happens to me is I'm bopping through my day, right? And I bop into people. People don't do what I want. My kids are screaming. My husband's yelling. The toilet is overflowing. Like, life happens, and it's really challenging. But the reason it's challenging is not because life is challenging. It's because of my alcoholic thinking. So I get into these stories in my head, right? And I close my step 10 with this prayer because I'm saying, all right, God, take it. Take all of me. I don't care. Take my good. Take my bad. But let me be useful to you. Because my experience is when I'm in my character defects or whatever, I need to be, I'm not useful to God, right? And my job every day is to fit myself, to adjust myself, not push myself, not say, okay, God, here's my checklist and this is what's going to happen, but to fit myself, to be of maximum service, my usefulness. Let me do your bidding. What do you want me to do? And that is a really big deal. I'm a controller. I'm an action-oriented person. I really love checklists. They make me feel better. And I don't like doing the things that I don't want to do. I don't like doing laundry. I don't like, you know, making the bed. But these are things that I get to start doing with God. Like, I don't want to go to my mom's house and break up her house. But you know what? It doesn't matter what I want anymore. What I want the most is to be God's girl. And if I'm going to be God's girl, then I need to say, hey, God, created me, whatever you want to do. And with that attitude, I can stay in the present moment. And the most powerful thing I've heard on this line is that God is as close as my breath. God does not make too harsh terms with those who honestly seek. So all I have to do to get back into God is take a deep breath and remember that God created me, and that's what this is all about. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Katie G from Boston. All right, next up we have Elizabeth D, followed by Nicole S. Elizabeth D, go ahead.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for your service. And it's Elizabeth D., recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. I love what I've heard, all that I've heard so far. This is one of my favorite chapters in the big book because it's taken me a long time to understand it. And now that I've really understood it better, it's made my recovery a little more, a little different. And I'll tell you why, because as I've heard before, it's not up to me to remove these defects. It's up to me to keep going in my life and keep on with things. And God will remove my defects of character. Someone in the program once said that they didn't like the terms defect of character. They preferred something like growing edges. And I like that too. There are a lot of things in the past that have been growing edges for me, and those growing edges have caused me, those defects have caused me to do things that have hurt other people and hurt myself. There was one thing in particular that I did to my daughter that to this day she doesn't know about. And for a full year, I felt guilty about that. And I had to do so much work to figure out, do I tell her or do I not tell her? And what I came to in the end was not that I should tell her, but that I should bear the weight of this guilt and let God remove this defect of character in his time, not my time. So what that meant for me was to look at the bigger picture and realize that sometimes my defects of character are of use to somebody else or of use in the world, to the bigger picture. And I can't see that. And to me, that's the ultimate expression of humility. I can't see the ways in which sometimes my defects of character are used by God. But with time, and if my intentions are to clean up my side of the street and to be clean and to do God's will, those are my intentions. And I go prayerfully through my day, God will show me where I need to do something specific. But sometimes my defects of character are part of the larger good. And it's not my job to decide which ones go and which ones stay. And that has been a very nuanced approach to step 7 that other fellows have helped me see and that I've seen through my prayer life. And it's been quite a revelation for me in my recovery journey. And as I heard earlier, this is a very short paragraph, but for me, this infuses everything in the book. It encapsulates for me all the humility that I am called to be and to do in my life. This, right in this little paragraph, is about humility and the fact that I don't know and God will show me. And with that, I will pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Elizabeth D. from Boston. All right. Next up, we have Nicole S., followed by Marge O. Nicole S.?
Hi, this is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, Abby, for your service. So in step 6, the paragraph before, I become entirely ready to let God remove my defects. You know, that's having belief that he can take them. And then, you know, in step 7, I now ask him to have all of me, you know, all those deep hidden parts. I ask him to search me. Know me, reveal to me, remove them, just knowing that I can't remove my character defects on my own, and it's exhausting when I try. And I love the emphasis here for my character defects to be removed isn't so I can be a better person, so I can feel better about myself as, you know, this great person. It's solely for my usefulness to God. And my usefulness to God is by serving others. That's the plan that he has for me. And I love this whole book. You know, the early founders just knew that the only way that alcoholics could recover is by serving others and by getting out of themselves. And so I'm asking God in this prayer, which is so beautiful, that, you know, I'm to remove my defects so that I can serve him by serving others, and then to give me the strength to do that, to do his bidding. And I think this goes along so good with that, with step 10, when I do get tripped up also, I can just take that pause, you know, from step 10 and also from step 11, and ask God, what do you want for me right now? Thy will, not mine, be done. And because my whole purpose is to do his bidding. So this is a short, beautiful paragraph, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Next up, Marge O., followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Marge O.
Good morning, Marge O. from the Boston area. Thank you for taking the meeting today and for all the people who do this service so that we can wake up and have a marvelous start to my day anyway. I wanted to talk a little bit about this because when I first took my first set the first time I took the steps was many, many years ago, and I was scared to death of all of it. And at the bottom of that fear was eventually I had to do step 8 and 9. And I rushed through the 6 and 7 because I thought, I can't stand to live with myself another day. I just can't stand knowing truly what kind of a person I was. So I did that, and I took my step 7, and I just didn't realize it was going to be the start of something new and something big, to turning my life and my will over to a power greater than myself, and to take a good look of where this disease took me, you know, what path and what road, and it was definitely the road less traveled with regarding the people that I knew and of a lot of the people that I knew in my whole lifetime, because I was still young. I was in my late 30s, but I had caused a lot of difficulty in my life and other people's lives due to this disease. So when I first took it, you know, turned my will and my life over to a power greater than myself. I thought I did that, but of course I didn't. I went right back out there thinking, I can control this, I can change this, I'll make a change here, because that's what I thought I was supposed to be doing, or I was incapable of letting go. And as time has gone on and I've done more study and, you know, gone to retreats and met more people, come into visions about 7 years ago, it really, really got the message that I am not in charge of any of this, that I have a higher power, and it's, for me, it is God, and that all day long, different things pop up, and I say, is this mine? No, I think this belongs to you. So I turn it over to my higher power, and I go on living the best life that I can, which is 400 times a better life than I was living before. Even though my food was down, even though I had changed a lot, there was still that little piece of Marge that thinks she can take charge of this and all will be different. No, only if I'm willing to turn it over and hear other people's experience and practice these principles in all my affairs. And thank you. I pass with that.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Marge O from Boston. Apparently we're having a Boston party this morning. Good to hear you all. All right, next up we have Larry K followed by Nora. Larry K, go ahead.
Hey, Abby, good morning. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Chicago, and I had to jump in on this this paragraph. You know, it starts out by saying, when ready, which incidentally answers the primary question in the preceding step, in step 6. You know, we say something like this, am I ready? Now it says we say something like this, not necessarily this, but certainly something like this. So what's so critical, like so much of this text for me, including the suggested prayers, is not the specific wording, but rather, where do these words lead us? Because, you know, for me, there's no magic in the words. There's just absolutely no magic in the words. It's not like we're going to be sprinkled with pixie dust by, you know, like uttering these words. Rather, what we're doing is we're committing to set out on a journey, right? We're on this journey, this pathway, and it's a spiritual trajectory of sorts. And it's fueled by action. Now, I will tell you that when I first navigated through these steps with entire abstinence, that took me a while to get that. I needed to do it entirely abstinent. When I did that, I had an expectation, nonetheless, that there, if there was a God, this higher power would wave a magic wand and render me something other than human. Not so much. Not really. As was kind of alluded to, you know, I'm asking God to remove these defects of character. I'm acknowledging that, look, there's a little good in me, a little bad, some humility with that admission. But it's in God's, you know, I'm not going to set an egg timer. God, okay, I said the prayer. You know, how about the pixie dust? How about the magic? I want to feel something intensely strongly. And you may. I didn't. But nonetheless, I was assured by others that, you know, you're committing to a way of life. You have these steps, and you're committed to this way of life for your entire lifetime. And you're going to continue to take these actions. And you just watch. Watch how the spiritual journey unfolds. Watch how this higher power continues to do for you what you absolutely couldn't do for yourself. And, you know, that was good advice. That was really strong advice. Because today, no magic, no pixie dust. And yet, I see the miracles all around me. I see it in you. I see it all around me. And that which I couldn't see, it's as though the fog has been lifted. Slowly, little by little, the fog has lifted. And I can see. You ever have your windshield where you can't really see? It's icy, and well, in Michigan it is, Chicago it might be, but you know, sometimes it's foggy, and when it's clear, that's what happens here. It slowly but surely clears a little bit, and when it does, we see, you know, we can see that around us that's miraculous, the little subtleties of things. That's the beauty of this, and I say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer every day. You know, I say these things without the magic mind, but just knowing that God is going to bring me along and is going to make the changes in God's time. With that, I pass. Thanks, Abby.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. All right, next up we have Nora, followed by Lisa N.
Hi, thanks for your service. I'm new to this program meeting. I have 8 years recovery in Gracie, and I'm now trying to find a sponsor here.
What's your first initial of your last name, and where are you calling from? Just so people know.
Okay, it's Nora D. from New York.
Nora D. from New York. Okay, thank you so much. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and I am looking for a sponsor. So, but I don't know. For me right now, I've had to start working the steps again because over Christmas, it's like a practical thing, like humility, honesty, like, you know, it's like, are we spiritually fit or off the beam? That's how I got abstinent to begin with, was I really was willing because I felt the pain of, you know, not doing the right thing, of being self-seeking, of wanting to be right. Like, it's a disease of relationships. You know, I eat over my feelings. I eat over what you're doing, how I think it should be. So it's a process, you know, it takes time, and God is pretty generous, you know? So it's just, we trust God, we clean house, we help others, you know, but it's been hard the last while, and down on my knees praying for the willingness to be willing, because I was in Gracie. I was abstinent 8 years back to back. And I know the freedom of that life, but in some ways, maybe I was like resting on my laurels. I don't know, you know, and I was talking about the step at meetings. I was going to step meetings. I'm sober 13 years, did steps and all the other programs, but there was a lot of pain there, you know? So I think God has me where I'm meant to be, and now I'm trying to figure out if I don't weigh and measure or if I stay, you know, I'm just like, but I need to hear the, spiritual solution, because I'm like, God, where are you? You know, how come I feel like there's still self-destruction there, you know? And all I can really do is be honest with God. Like, I don't know. I feel like with the early members of AA, I don't think it was so theoretical or philosophical or academic. I think it literally was like, I'm doing obviously something that's killing me and I can't stop doing it. Can you please help me? Can you give me power? I don't have power. So I just don't even know what to do right now. I've been trying to get help with someone in AA who's like doing, like introducing grains, and I don't know, you know, I'm listening to these speakers, so I'm trying to find someone who maybe has experience with different food fellowships and has a sense of surrender, and I know it's a God thing too, so I could leave my number at the end or maybe now. I have a doctor's appointment at 8:20, so Maybe I could just leave it now. I don't know if that's okay with the format, but yeah, I'm great.
We'll take your number at the end at 8 o'clock Eastern. What, most like at 7:55.
It's fine. Thank you.
Okay, so make sure to leave your number then. Thank you so much. Welcome to Vision for You Big Book Study, and glad you shared. All right, next up we have Lisa N., followed by Hannah Yetta.
Good morning, and thank you, moderator, for your service today, and thank you, everybody, who shared. It's a great meeting today. Thank you so much. I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin, gratefully recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And what I am so grateful for in this program is that I memorized this prayer. I'm kind of lazy, and so, you know, that I memorized this one a few years ago to do my 10 steps meant something as I was learning it, but mostly as I internalize it, because I have to say inside my heart, not just my mind, those words. And I was never a humble person. I was a person with low self-esteem, which I thought was the same, but it was not. And I thought if I felt bad about myself and I was self-deprecating, that meant I was humble, but it wasn't at all. And what I needed to do is I needed to listen to others and ask for their opinion or advice before rushing ahead, because I thought I knew everything. And the other day, I heard somebody describe the Greek translation for the word patience as being stay down. And I thought, I never stayed down. I never stopped and paused and listened and asked. I rushed ahead, and I thought everything I did was the right direction. This is the way we're going. This is what we're doing today. And I told people what to do in my house, and I was just large and in charge, as they say. And that never helped. That never helped. And then so much would go wrong, and I didn't understand why. Well, now I know. Who is large and in charge is my higher power, and so much larger and so much more prepared and better to lead me. And he puts a husband in my life and children who have done really amazing things. I always wanted to be on the stage singing, and God gave me that opportunity. But once I was up there, I really didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel like I wanted to do that. And it's a strange thing. Now I want other people to be blessed with leadership and me to stay back. And yesterday I felt a little jealous about that. I felt like I was less. But I think the enemy or the disease wants me to feel less so that I go forth and jump in and not be patient, not stay down. So today I have to really be grateful for this program teaching me what humility is. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa M. from Wisconsin. And I forgot to mention the last person was Nora D. from New York. Oh, someone was coughing. So I like to repeat the name so people can. Oh, got a lot going on right now. Okay, so that was Nora D. from New York, and then Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Thank you so much. And next up, we have Hannah Yetta R., and then I'll take another lineup. So, Hannah Yetta, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Abby, for your service. I always love when you're a leader. You do such a good job. I am Hannah Yetta R. from Texas. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I am in remission today. And I have to say thank you to all the people who have already shared. You've done such a great job. I'll see what I can add to all that. And I loved a few things that people have already said so much. I really like my creator, and I do say that with all my heart. I love knowing that this is, you know, I'm saying this to, you know, my creator, and I love that. I was not the one coughing, but I am a little bit kind of, in the mornings I get that way. It says you should have all of me, good and bad. Well, I'm not someone that likes to say that I'm bad because I kicked myself so much in my past and thought I was such a bad piece of garbage that I say today, good and not so good, because I just don't want to say that I'm bad anymore because I did that for too many years and for too long, and I just don't think I'm bad anymore. I do things that are not good. I do things that are sometimes even mean. I yelled at my husband yesterday. You know, I'm not perfect by any means, but I just don't like the word bad, so I just say not so good. But I pray, it says, I pray that now you, it should be a capital U, Y, that it doesn't now remove from me every single defect of character. And that's what I find, is that when I make a list in the paragraph, when I make a list of the character defects that I have, then I have to be careful, because when I say that I want them to be removed, that I'm ready for them to be removed, I feel like my Creator sends me messages. He gives me areas in my life that bring all of those things up. And then he'll say, kind of like I think, you know, okay, let's see if you really want this removed. Let's see how you do when I send you this challenge. And I get these challenges, and I was like, wait, I said I wanted this removed, you know, but here it is. You know, what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm supposed to not react the way I used to react, because he's showing me that here's ways that you can not react the same way. I'm going to remove them, but you have to do your part. I believe we have to do our part. In Hebrew, it's called gishtablis, and I know that's a hard word, but it's our part. I have to do my part. And so when he sends me these challenges of a character defect, like not yelling at my husband, he sends them to me often. And sometimes I pass, and sometimes I feel immensely, like yesterday. But I'm still working on it. You know, I'll be working on it until the day I die. So I hope I keep getting lots more challenges, because I'm not ready to go yet. And it says, grant me strength, though. It says, grant me strength. So in other words, that the time, okay, grant me strength, which means I'll just finish with this, is that he's going to give me strength to be able to do what it is I need to do. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share, and I welcome all the newcomers. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Hanayeta R. from Texas. Appreciate you sharing today. All right, before I take another lineup, I just want to let you know where we're calling from or where we're reading from, and then also announce the conference coming up, or the convention. So today we're reading on page 76, second paragraph, when ready, we say something like this. We read through that one paragraph. We have then completed step 7. And I'll take just a couple more names, but I do want to let you know that the Power of the Big Book Vision for You convention is back, and it's November 7th through the 9th, 2025. It's in Newark, New Jersey, and online registration is open, and there are hotels available. So if you go on the Vision for You website, avision4u.info, there will be a countdown. It's 277 days away, and right underneath that countdown, there's a little gray box that says more info. If you click on that box, it has all the information about the details of the convention, all of the everything that you'll need to have a wonderful weekend. There's contacts on there if you have any questions. So would love to see you there. I just registered after this meeting last week, so looking forward to it. All right, and although we do value your experience, we ask that when I take another lineup, you please only share every third day so that others may share their experience too. So I will take 3 more names. Who would like to share?
Well, Sam.
Figure it out.
Cheryl A.
Vasa O.
All right. I have Russ M, Sigrid, Cheryl A, and then if we have time, Vasa O. So Russ M, go right ahead, followed by Sigrid.
Good morning, Ab. Thank you very much. Philadelphia. So I love this step and I hate this step. I love it because at this point, you know, I'm just giving everything to God and, yo, get rid of this, please. I want to be a better man. But the reason, I don't really hate it, obviously. I embattle that these things removed as soon as I prayed this prayer. In 2017, I wanted them removed, these idiosyncrasies, these defects of character that hinder me from being close to God and helping others and being a good man. So I battle it every day. I'm this great recovery guy. You know, I'm a great spiritual being now, but I want to punch people in the face still. Argue. I'm going to stay out of my lane rather than staying in my lane. So it's an everyday process for me. The food was just a symptom to get to the root of this craziness and obsession of selfishness, pride, and just being about me. So I pray this prayer every day with a heart that really truly wants to be better. And it's only being immersed. Now, if I just did this and rolled out and just worked a Medj-a-Medj program, same guy, and I'm going to get my hit again by something else, whether it's drugs, it'd be back food or whatever. I have to stay immersed in this program, and it'll come, but it's in God's time. I got to realize, you know, I'm not God. Even though I think, you know, the world revolves around me, I'm not God. And the more God humiliates me, the more humble I'll be. The more mistakes I'll make, the more I'll come towards Him. The intention of my heart is to not be perfect, but be better each and every day. So that's my frustration with it, but this is a great step, and I'd be nowhere without steps in particular this meeting. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Russ M. from Philadelphia. Next up, we have Sigrid, followed by Cheryl A. Sigrid, go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks. This is Sigrid F. I'm in South Florida, recovered in South Florida. And I wanted to start by saying thank you for all the fabulous shares. Couldn't agree more. It's God who removes our defects. But I thought maybe I could put this together, at least for me. It's step 4 and 5 where I realize, and I'm going to call it a defect, but I think of it more of a spectrum. You know, there's for each defect I have, there is I can take it to the far length. You know, determination might be a great thing, but if it becomes nagging, it's not such a great thing, right? But the miracle is that when I am step 4, I realize that I'm doing this thing that is extreme in some direction. And then I share it, or someone helps me to see it, because maybe I can't see it in step 5. And then in step 6, I put a name to it. I'm like, okay, this is the problem that I'm having from time to time. At that point, my job is to recognize it. That's it, to see when I do it and to work, you know, potentially to not do it. Maybe it's bite my tongue sometime. But the miracle is that God then works with me and removes it. And it's funny how it'll come up, because it happens often over time. And I'll be in a situation that I've been in many times, and I've always reacted a certain way. You know, my husband says something to me and I absolutely, you know, unequivocally react right back to him with some angry words. And then one day I'm in that situation and I don't do that. And I realize after, and I think, oh my God, God really did it for me. I didn't react that way. I wasn't mean and nasty. I was loving and kind. And that's the miracle of this program. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Sigrid S. in Florida. Next up, we have Cheryl A., and we'll have time for Vasco. Cheryl A., go right ahead.
Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. And there are a couple of things I really love about the wording of this prayer. And the word my and the word now jump out at me pretty significantly. Why my? When I speak in an endearing sort of way, when I'm in a relationship with someone, I might say to Nina, my friend, or I might say to my children, my baby girl, or I might say to my dog, come here, my puppy. There's something very deeply personal and acknowledging of a relationship that is established that means something to me. So when I say my creator, it is an acknowledgement of an endearing, established, reliable, loving relationship. And that hits me in my heart every time I say this prayer. The now part is a bit of a relief. The now part is a bit of, it almost brings me to tears of exhaustion, of years of work, of confusion, where the confusion is cleared. I'm now, it's been a long time, God, but man, am I ready. I am now ready that you should have all of me. And it is, when I say all of me, there is a surrender of that part of me that is just so self-damning, so self-critical. And I cannot remove the roots of this problem. I can cut away at the branches all day long to stop being critical or angry or jealous or shaming or feeling shame. Or self-pity. I can pull away those branches, but I cannot uproot the roots of the trunk. I need to have God come and pull up the entire trunk so I'm not just slapping away at those branches. But I do have a job to do, and that for me has been the hidden secret of step seven. I don't just sit waiting. I've learned that my job is to focus on the opposite. I cannot remove my self-pitying, but I can imagine what a self-confident and someone who has self-love looks like, and I can manual shift into those assets, those character assets. They are not what I am, what's natural to me. But when I learn and observe from other recovered people and other people in my life that demonstrate those what I believe are the manifestations of actually my God walking around in this world, I can act as if I am self-confident, that I love myself, that I am patient, that I am embracing and trusting. So that's my work in step seven and the hidden secret for me. Thanks so much for listening. I wish everyone a good day.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Vasa O., and you'll be our final one today, Vasa.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough. And I'm calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. We are snowbirds down here. But I would like to thank everybody for the shares. Oh, my goodness. I usually kind of waiting now because I want to hear everybody's shares. And I'm so grateful that, yes, I have memorized this the seventh step. And I say it every morning. And I do say it. God grant me the serenity, and then, of course, I have other prayers that I pray for my family. And I had no clue what character defects were, till I came to recovery. Of course, I surrendered to God. I was ready and willing to surrender with the food addiction, but I didn't understand with my life and my will. I needed to keep coming and learn from all of you and identify, and I'm still keep coming. I came in 1986 in this program, so I just keep coming, and yes, this is a very important step to me, and I don't have very good memories, I've always had a hard time memorizing things, but I made sure I have memorized this And I said every single day. So if I say it every single day, then I still remember it. But anyways, to, you know, the character traits that we call here, or the defects or sinful nature, I needed to, I spent a lot of time putting stuff in the dictionary, you know, what it meant. What's anger, resentment, pride, fear, control, anxiety. And I suffered with all of those things. And I thought that was pretty normal, you know, when I'm a human being. I needed God to remove these character defects, and he still does. Always, something always pops up. And right now I'm dealing with fear of being judged or criticized with my family, you know. I just spoke with my sponsor yesterday. And this is part of life.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate everybody's shares, and God bless, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Vasa. Oh, all right. It is 7:55. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, February 3rd, 2025, is 22,131, 22131. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading until keep you until then.
Sure. This is Craig F. still, recovered in Broken Arrow. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.